Manuscript Releases, Volume 13, Mr. Number 1070, Relating to Trials and Suffering, Audio. The purpose of trials. Trials are permitted to come upon the chosen people of God. The expression is used, God tempted Abraham. God tempted the children of Israel. This means that the Lord permitted Satan to tempt them in order that their faith might be found unto honor and glory when the judgment shall sit, and when every man shall be judged according to the deeds done in the body. God knows every heart, every motive, every thought in the heart of man, but he permits Satan to try, and tempt, and test his believing ones in order that their trust and confidence in God may be revealed. In the trial, if true to God, they reveal the fact that they render obedience to his written word. All these trials and close personal tests are to result in magnifying the name of the Lord, who is waiting to bestow strength and grace upon those who call upon him. This is the way in which the trial proceeds from God, and works for the good of those who love God. For the abundant grace of God is revealed before the heavenly universe, before worlds unfallen, and before the eyes of men. The Lord hates sin, but he loves and forgives the repentant, believing sinner, and takes him under his guardianship and control. Satan is on the track of every soul, but with every temptation that is permitted to come upon the children of God's pardoning love, he makes a way of escape in order that they shall not be tempted above that which they are able to bear. Divine strength is imparted to make the believing child able to resist the temptation and to escape the snare. Trust implicitly in God. This history of Elijah, in discouragement fleeing at Jezebel's threat, carefully and prayerfully studied, will be a help to the people of God under difficulties. Let man be careful not to assume responsibilities that God does not require of him, and interpose himself between the Lord and his tempted and tried ones so that the purposes of God shall not be carried out in the experiences of these persons. Difficulties will arise before the people of God, but every soul must put his trust not in the wisdom of men but in the Lord God of Israel. He will be his defense. Only let each person keep in the way of duty, and not let fear discourage him. In trusting implicitly in God, we shall see the wonderful display of his power, if we wait patiently and prayerfully for him, and have confidence in God. Christian workers, to put Christ first, we must unite our interests with Christ, even though it be at a sacrifice. He sacrificed all for us. He gave his riches, his glory, his life, that we might gain immortality. Those who enter upon the work of reform need the help of the Holy Spirit to be self-denying, partaking of Christ's sufferings, that his important mission may be advanced. The age in which we live calls for all the ability, all the talents, that Christ's followers possess. These abilities and talents come from God, and those to whom they have been given are under obligation to build up God's centers in this world. From these centers the light of truth is to go forth in various ways to those nigh and afar off. If human agents will walk humbly with God, pressing onward and upward, the Lord will use them as channels through which he can communicate light. If they are purged from all selfishness, if they have a continual desire to work for the glory of God, they will receive increased light from the source of all light. But God cannot connect with those who give evidence that they live to please themselves, to make themselves first. He declares that those who do this will in the end be last of all. Prosperity versus adversity. It is not the empty cup that we have trouble in carrying. It is the cup full to the brim that must be carefully balanced. Take problems to God, not to men. Has the Lord directed you to carry your burdens and difficulties to men who have no more strength than you have? Will you make them your intercessor? Shall man interpose between your souls and God? Men in responsibility, handling sacred things, bring all your trials and perplexities to God. Turn not away from your great counselor, to human beings. I am charged with a warning. Exchange not one infinite in wisdom for finite man. The Lord Jesus is the source of all power. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4 verses 8-10. Christ uses trials to draw wanderers back to himself. The soul that surrenders all to Christ loses sight of self, and is filled with confidence in God. By the clear light shining on God's word, he reads the promises telling of his heavenly Father's love and care. These promises appeal to him with soul-conquering evidence. Assured of God's power and willingness to fulfill his word, he returns to him praise and thanksgiving. Peace and joy fill his heart. Christ takes us into covenant relation with himself. He loves us with an everlasting love, but he does not always give us what we desire. When we wander away from him, he permits trials to come upon us, to cause us to return to him with full purpose of heart. And when we return, he receives us with loving assurances of pardon. He does not allow us to be tempted above that we are able. When he sees his disciples deficient in spiritual power, day by day losing ground, day by day wandering farther and farther from the source of strength, he sends to them affliction and adversity. Disappointed hopes cause them to stop and think, and there comes to them repentance, and a desire to draw near to God. And as they return to him, he draws near to them, saying, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." Isaiah 27 verse 5.